Thank you, church. Well, welcome. If you're visiting, my name's Simon Kirby. I'm the vicar here. I've been at one of our other churches in South Lee, but it's great to be with you. I know there's a number of folk who are actually in the centre of town for the memorial there as well. Wonderful to hear Sonia's testimony of what God has done since last week. And we're in this series. Hilary just read the Old Testament reading from Numbers, the blessing of Aaron, that God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. Wonderful. Just put your hand up if you have insecurities this morning. Now put your hand up if you're insecure about putting your hand up about insecurities because people will think you're insecure. Yeah, come on, people. We've all got insecurities. It's no good going, oh, no, I'm completely confident. Life is full of insecurities. We have times where we worry, where we have concern. We have concerns about our health, about our finances, about our children, about our parents, about our world. Donald Trump has just been elected the leader of the free world. Just raises a little bit of concern. Apparently, and I'm not encouraging you to do this, but apparently, if you had bet £5, I'm not encouraging you to bet, but if you had, on an accumulator bet that Leicester City would win the Premiership, Britain would vote Brexit, and Donald Trump would become president, you would now be £12.5 million better off. Now, if anybody did make those bets, do come and see me afterwards, because I need to talk to you. I mean, it's been a bonkers year. Leicester City winning the Premiership. Crazy. Life is fragile. Life is uncertain. Benjamin Franklin famously said, "Certainty, in this world, nothing is certain except death and taxes." Our world is broken. It's uncertain. God is in control, but that doesn't mean that bad things don't happen to good people. This weekend, we remember the world wars. We remember the terrible, terrible destruction caused, the millions of lives lost in world wars. And history shows us that nations make significant mistakes. Nations make mistakes. And actually, sadly, the church has sometimes backed the wrong leader. We see that in that the state church in Germany supported Hitler in the 30s. Many people didn't, many Christians didn't, but some did. People make mistakes. Right now, there are countries in our world where people are being oppressed. We know that Christians are persecuted despite God being in control. We know it. Yet despite all of that, I believe that God wants us to have a deep sense of security that comes from hearing his promise to keep us. Last week, we looked at the Lord bless us. This week, we're looking at the Lord keep us. The Lord keep you. Keep you. You see, he is our powerful defender. And if God is for us, then ultimately no one can be against us. The Hebrew word for keep is shema. And that can also be translated as to guard, to watch for, to preserve or to tend. It's the same word that's used in Exodus 23, verse 20, where God says, "See, I am sending an angel to guard you along the way." God wants to keep you. He wants to guard you. This ties in with Jesus being the good shepherd who guards the flock. A good shepherd would lay down his life for his flock. And maybe today, maybe the only thing you need today is to be reminded that God wants to fight your battles with you. In fact, he wants to fight your battles for you. God is with you. He wants to guard you. He wants to keep you. And the passage Hilary just read in the gospel, "While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost." Not one of them has been lost. I have guarded them. Jesus wants to guard us, to keep us. Like any other parent, God, if you're a parent here, you want to keep your children safe. That's part of sort of the parental love. And if we as parents want that, how much more does God want that for us? How much more does our Heavenly Father want to give us security? The Lord bless you and keep you. And God's instruction to Aaron is to pray that over the people so that the blessing is over the people and they know that they have God's blessing over them. Now, if you feel uncertain and insecure as you look ahead at the world, imagine the context in which Aaron prayed that prayer, where he prayed the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine. He prayed to a people in a desert. They weren't even sure where the next meal was coming from. They weren't certainly sure what the future held. And he prayed it to them. And if we have uncertainty today, imagine what they had. They were in the harshest terrain, not knowing what was coming next, having just left slavery in Egypt. And we're in the same position. We've just left slavery. We've left slavery. If you're a Christian, you are no longer a slave. We're set free. We're set free from sin and death. That's the victory that Jesus has won for us. That's the victory we remember when we take this meal together. We are slaves set free. We haven't yet reached the promised land. We have a long journey ahead. There will be battles along the way to see God's kingdom come on earth. We see it come. We're here to bring God's kingdom on earth, but it's not here complete yet. We've still got a promised land to reach. But because God's blessing is on us, we can be confident that he will bring us through and keep us safe. The question is, what happens when the storm does come along? Because there were Christians in both world wars who were praying to God that they'd stop, and they didn't for years. And so what do we do when the storms come along? When the wind picks up, when it feels like God hasn't kept us safe? And that's a reality for us all at different times in our lives as we're left asking the question, why or where are you? Now, I can get a little nervous in a storm. And that's not because I'm nervous of storms. I love the power of nature. I get a little nervous because there's a 70-foot cedar of Lebanon. I think it's a cedar of Lebanon anyway, just next to my house. And when there's a storm and I look at the wind hitting that cedar of Lebanon, if that fell over, it could do an awful lot of damage. And I start to think, well, how strong are its roots? How strong are its roots? You know, yesterday, some of us, the more manly men among us, the hardcore, you know, we weren't bothered by a bit of bad weather. You know, there were about 20 of us. We hit the churchyard. We cleared it up. And the hardest ones, the most manly of us, were sent over to deal with some tree stumps in the church car park. We were told they were saplings. They weren't. They were not saplings. They were stumps. We broke an axe, we broke a chainsaw, I nearly broke my back, but we got those stumps out. But what we discovered is that these piddly stumps had these enormous roots. And these roots took some shifting. Where are your roots? Where are your roots? Because if we place our roots deep into God, if we put our hands in and say, Lord, I trust you, whatever life has ahead of me, then the truth is that God will hold on to us, whatever storms or struggles batter us. In her book, The Promise of Blessing, which we're basing much of this series on, Kate Patterson talks about when Corrie ten Boom visited the family home. That's Martin and Cynthia's home, for those of you who know Martin and Cynthia, part of our 915 congregation. And when Corrie ten Boom, Kate was later looking through the visitor book to see what Corrie ten Boom had written. And she wrote, you only need to need and welcome. The windows of heaven are always open. Now, if you don't know who Corrie ten Boom is, she was captured by the Nazis in the Second World War for sheltering Jews in her childhood home. She was sent to a concentration camp where her beloved sister Betsy died. She was someone who knew suffering. She knew suffering. And Kate writes of that statement, you only need to need and welcome, the windows of heaven are always open. Kate writes, it's the kind of glib statement you could get in a Hallmark card. But it's not glib coming from Corrie ten Boom. Not from someone who experienced a place that others have described as hell on earth. Corrie wasn't kept from suffering, but God did keep her. He kept her from despair. He kept her from bitterness. He kept her in the knowledge of his wonderful, generous goodness and love. The love that enabled her to forgive those who murdered her sister. The Lord keep you. The Lord keep you. And the surprising truth is that some of those who've been through the toughest of times most deeply grasp God's love for them more fully. Another lady who really suffered was Elizabeth Elliot, whose husband Jim Elliot was killed by, he was a missionary, and he was killed by some native Indians who he went to try and take the gospel to. They'd never been reached before. It was back in the 1950s. And she wrote this: "We must view our circumstances through the window of God's love, rather than viewing God's love through the window of our circumstances." I'll say that again. We must view our circumstances through the window of God's love, rather than viewing God's love through the window of our circumstances. You see, the devil, and indeed people, will tell you that God doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about our world. He doesn't exist. He isn't here for you. And today we do remember those many who gave their lives in armed conflicts over the years. And sadly, during those conflicts, some will have lost their faith. They'll have lost sight of God in it all. But others discovered the truth that even in the worst circumstances, God keeps us. God keeps us. God is with us in the tough times as much as the good times. And how do we dwell in that truth? How do we, in the good times, make sure we dwell in that truth so that in the tough times, we hold on to it? We hold on to it. Well, we put our roots deep. Deep into his word, not anyone else's. We trust his word, not anyone else's. We share our lives with others who will sharpen our faith and help us to put our roots deep in God. We keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We put in deep roots. And as we've prayed, this time next week, we'll be in Beirut. I'm speaking at Saïd's church next Sunday morning. We're a couple of hours ahead of you. I've no doubt I will meet people who've faced storms that I can't and I don't want to imagine. I'm pretty sure I'll experience a level of faith and trust in God that will both inspire and challenge me in those places. They're living out the reality of persecution and challenge that we read about, but we don't. This morning, if you're facing storms, I would encourage you to ask someone to pray with you, that you would know that God is holding you, keeping you in those storms, that he will never leave you or abandon you. He will keep you. And I'd really encourage you at the end of where the children are going to be joining us any moment for communion. But I'd really encourage you to pray with someone. If at the moment you are being buffeted and battered, I'd encourage you to pray with someone. It can be someone that you came with, or it can be someone at the front. We have people who will be around the font who are happy to pray with you. One of the ways the devil works best is to isolate us, to keep us in that place where we're suffering alone. That's why we keep raising up connect groups, to keep telling us lies about who we are and that God doesn't love us. Coming to the front is about saying, I don't want to do this on my own. I want to walk more closely with God. I don't want to pretend that I'm strong. I don't want to pretend that I don't have insecurities, that I don't need help. Because at times, we all do. So I would encourage you, God wants to keep you. He wants to give you all that you need now so that you can put your roots deep. He wants, if you're facing battles at the moment, to help you bed your roots in so that you can be buffeted, but you can stand strong. He wants to keep you. Final psalm before we move into communion is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps you will not slumber. That's our God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we see evidence in our lives, we see evidence around us of what you are doing among us, that you are setting people free, that you are binding up broken hearts, that you are restoring faith and hope. And Father, I pray that for each of us, that we would continue to know your blessing, that you want to bless us and you want to keep us, and that you are keeping us. And in particular, I pray for anyone here, any of my friends, my family here, who right now are being buffeted by the storms, buffeted by the wind. And I pray that their roots would be deep in you and your love. I pray that they would hear what you say about them, not what others say. And I pray that you would help them to stay strong in your love. You who slumber, you do not slumber, you keep us. You keep us. Amen.